First, I'm going to talk, I'm a Palestinian artist and activist, so first I'm going to talk about cultural boycott and why I think it's important, it's effective, it's positive, and why we should be engaging in it. And then I'm also a Palestinian poet, so I'm going to perform a spoken word poet, four or five poems, and then hand it over to Ali. From the outset, hi people in the back, they came on Arab time. No? Did we get that? It's brown people time in general. I'm essentially going to discuss why, as a Palestinian, I grew up in the United States, why I think action is important. And from the outset, I think it should be said that we should be less concerned with hurting the feelings of the oppressor and more concerned with standing in solidarity with the oppressed. The reason why I became a poet, I moved to New York City 4 months before 9/11, was because I wanted to start a dialogue. There was a lot of misconceptions and vitriolic language against 1.4 million Muslims, against Arabs post 9/11. I was Palestinian living in New York City. And for me, it was a way to build a bridge, to be able to connect with other communities, to start a kind of a global talk on what the reality of the situation was. But I think that there comes a point when, if your voice is being used to normalize occupation, if your voice is being used to rebrand Israel's policies of apartheid, when your voice is being used to keep other people's face down in the mud, you have a moral imperative to switch a decision and not to whitewash apartheid, not to go and perform in Israel. And the reality is that there's no real dialogue, cultural or otherwise, that can exist under these conditions. Not as 1.5 million Palestinians are closed off in an open-air prison. Not as medical supplies, school supplies, building supplies, water sanitation supplies, and the lives of millions of Palestinians are denied entry into Gaza. Not as millions of Palestinians are denied their right to return. As 1.6 million Palestinians living inside of the State of Israel are relegated to third-class status. As Palestinians living in the West Bank are cut off from other sections of the West Bank. As Palestinian artists within Gaza and the West Bank are not allowed exit to not only practice their craft, but build their livelihood. And I think it's really important to note that this is an institutional boycott. The academic and cultural boycott of Israel is based on institutions. It is not aimed at individuals. Frequently, Israelis travel throughout the world. They're able to pay their bills. They're able to showcase their craft. They're able to have their art galleries. They're able to have their concerts. But it can't be linked with an Israeli institution, which is either rebranding Israeli apartheid or servicing the Israeli state. And I think it's also important to note that this is not a movement that came up by five academics in the West deciding, you know, we need action against human rights abuses in Palestine. This is a movement that was formed. The 2004 academic and cultural boycott call was reinforced by Palestinian civil society's 2005 call for boycott, divestment, and sanction, signed on by more than 170 Palestinian civil society organizations, ranging from labor groups, religious institutions, academic institutions, unions, and cultural organizations. And essentially, it's presenting a pathway forward to stand against Israel's policies. They're more than competent and more than qualified enough to present their own movement. It's important for us to stand in solidarity with them. And I think it leads to the larger question. How many artists within Palestine have worked with organization after organization trying to receive permits to leave to no avail? What about the cultural activists that were recently attacked at PALFEST in East Jerusalem, who were shot at with tear gas canisters made in the United States as tear gas choked off their lungs and they tried to perform in East Jerusalem? What about the Palestinian arts community that has been marginalized, compounded by right-wing policies inside of the State of Israel, which are pushing for loyalty tests, mass transfer, laws banning the mentioning of the Nakba, and the criminalization of BDS itself? And to the Israeli artist community, where are the Israeli cultural institutions calling out against the occupation? Where are the Israeli theater institutions condemning the siege on Gaza? Where are the Israeli cultural institutions speaking in favor of family reunification, the right of return, and for equality for Palestinians living inside of the State of Israel? The reality is that you do have some Israeli leftists, albeit a small minority. Rather than reinforcing the racist mentality of the state, we should be seeking to empower groups like Boycott From Within, which is made up of Israelis, a large portion of Israeli artists and Israeli Jews who are calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. They've been behind many of the letters calling for artists outside of Israel to not whitewash apartheid and not come and play in Israel's Sun City. But even still, people will say, we need dialogue. We need talking. We need cultural exchanges. The notion that my poem is going to go and play in some stadium of Israel that's going to lead to a path of introspection that will alter the psyche of Israeli society is absolutely ridiculous. And it fundamentally discounts 1.5 million Palestinians living inside of the state of Israel as if they have no agency, as if Israeli Jews within Israeli society don't see them. The suggestion that you need to go to Israel and explain to Israeli Jews why Palestinians should be afforded the basic rights as somebody else is the equivalent of somebody coming during Jim Crow, a white European coming and telling white people in America why all the black people around them should enjoy freedom and basic rights. The reality is that Israelis aren't going to look inward. They're not going to look within themselves and give up their existing power structure. It's up to the global community to stand in solidarity with Palestinians until it complies with international law and the three basic tenets of boycott, divestment, and sanctions: the right of return and compensation for those who choose not to return, end of occupation of all Arab land, and equality for all Palestinians living inside of the state of Israel. It's also important for me to say, as an artist and as somebody who's seen Jewish voice after Jewish voice sign on to boycott, divestment, and sanction, Christian voices, Muslim voices, atheist voices, people from South Africa, all over Latin America, in the Middle East, calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, that there's no more powerful action that we can take than standing in solidarity with Palestinian civil society and standing with oppressed peoples. As a human being, I don't want to hug a segregationist. I don't want to appeal to you from a separate water fountain. And I sure as hell don't want to appeal to you from the back of the bus. This is not a case of two sides with equal grievances. This is a simple case of occupier and occupied, of those implementing a system of apartheid and those living under it. I also think it's important to say that we need action. Yes, there are human rights reports in Gaza. There's Amnesty International. There's Human Rights Watch. There's the Goldstone Report. And then there are the eyes and ears of the Palestinian people. I understand that now that 1,400 people have died in 22 days after Israel bombarded the living hell out of the Gaza Strip, what are we going to do about it? And I think that as an activist, our most important commodity is our time. So after 2 decades of failed negotiations, which have only served to service the status quo, as settlements expanded, as more Palestinian resources had been appropriated, as there's been the Judaization of East Jerusalem and the continued ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from their homes, we have options on the table. Now, I don't think that a smart option is dumping $50 million that we don't have into creating a Palestine lobby and getting 3 more Dennis Kuciniches. And I don't think, I mean, I love Dennis Kucinich, but you're gonna need 300 more. And spending thousands of hours that we don't have, or engaging in a political system that seeks to undermine us at every juncture. I think it's imperative that we continue to build a strong case for cultural boycott and for boycott, divestment, and sanctions generally. Our country isn't a silent actor. We give $3.1 billion a year in aid to Israel. We give Apache helicopters and Hellfire missiles and cluster bombs and white phosphorus. We give vetoes at the UN. We are the one that is giving Israel so much legitimacy throughout the world. I'm sure some people saw the Netanyahu speech and the AIPAC speech. I don't know if you guys saw the joint speech where Obama basically said, hey, Israel, I love you. And Netanyahu was like, go F yourself. Yeah, it wasn't so good. So looking at the campaign itself and looking at Israeli society, the cultural society through the government, you've had millions of dollars of government money dumped into rebranding campaigns so they can send out dance groups and musicians to show that Israel is somehow a liberal democracy and a haven for people to come to. And essentially, it's on the accord that they are whitewashing Israeli policies. They're trying to change the political nature by engaging in the arts in the global community. And they even have artists now signing contracts saying that they are going to promote the, quote, Jewish and democratic state of Israel. So essentially, you're linking the livelihood of artists in Israel with government funding and saying that if they don't promote your propaganda, we're going to strip away funding from you. And also, if you look at the call in 2005 and you look at where we are today, our successes haven't been minimal. We've recently seen the cancellation of Elvis Costello, Gil Scott-Heron, the Claxons, the Pixies, the Gorillaz, Faithless, and Vanessa Paradis. We've seen Hollywood actors cancel their stops and pull out of events. Artists play an enormous role on shining a light on Israel's policies. Just as Anderson Cooper chided Beyonce and a lot of other artists for going whitewashing Gaddafi's crimes and taking millions of dollars from his regime, and those artists were forced to donate their money to organizations. It included Usher and Nelly Furtado and a number of other people. It's imperative that we come together and push artists to refuse to whitewash Israel's policies and take a stand against its brutality until those three basic principles are met. Anderson Cooper was pushing the essence of cultural boycott. Furthermore, the pressure that we put on artists does work. It wasn't until people actually went and protested at Gil Scott-Heron's event did he pull out of his gig. Artists, many of them not at the height of their career, are pulled in by the prospects of monies, a high honoraria, first-class plane ticket, a four-star hotel. So it's not the easy and logical answer for an artist to cancel their gig, but the pressure that we put on them does make a huge difference. Just as Netanyahu tried to reach out to Justin Bieber to have him be a cultural propagandist in North America, that went south. Many of these flailing artists are preyed upon to reinforce this notion that Israel is a liberal democracy and a haven for people to come and perform in. And again, there's a difference in how people are canceling their gigs now. In the beginning, you had Bono who canceled his gig and Snoop Dogg who canceled his gig, and they said it was because of scheduling conflict and so on and so forth. It wasn't until Elvis Costello canceled his gig and gave a reason for the cancellation. With each artist who cancels, it makes the pathway to get the next artist to cancel easier. From jazz to pop to hip hop, we've had successes across the music industry. On the flip side, Israel's brutality has sped up the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, and specifically cultural boycott. It wasn't until the massacre of 9 internationals on the Mavi Marmara did the Klaxons and the Pixies and the Gorillaz cancel their gig. In my opinion, and many other people's opinions, that was the catalyst that got them to cancel. But what helped bring them to the table were the notable names who canceled before. What carved out the pathway forward were the organizers who had been appealing to them for cancellation for months. Lastly, I think it's important for us to engage. It's not just about having a speaker or a cultural artist come to your campus and talk to you about what's going on. I personally work with US ACBI, the US Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. We're always looking for more activists, students, community members to engage in work. But the point is, no matter what organization you're working with, I see University of Chicago on the back, you have DePaul SJP working on the deshelving campaign with Sabra Hummus. From letter writing campaigns to Facebook campaigns to innovative cultural actions like flash mobs and mock checkpoints, it's important that we act ourselves. Rather than limiting ourselves to listening to speakers, whether they be academics, intellectuals, or artists, we have to be at the forefront of the movement ourselves. And lastly, to quote Martin Luther King, freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor, it must be demanded by the oppressed. The time for action is now, and that action is boycott, divestment, and sanctions. But I am now gonna perform. This is weird. Hi, how are you? I'm now a performer. How long do I have? We don't know. Okay, we stop it. All right, I'm going to turn this down now because I'm going to be super loud on the mic. Hey now. Can you hear me now? I'm on a donkey. Can everybody hear me in the back?
Yeah?
Okay. Let's start angry. Why not? Okay, and then? Okay, we're going to do that. The first poem I'm going to do is called Coexistence. You know the first two lines of that. Yes. And basically, the Israeli line is, if the Palestinian people come to the table, negotiate for the next 100 years, give up 99% of their homeland, give up the right of return, then maybe Israel will let them stay in Bantustans and ghettos. I'm not really a fan of this, so I wrote this poem, Coexistence, in response. Hi, how are you? It's nice to see you again. We're Facebook friends. Okay. I don't want to coexist. Not like good guys and bad guys and true lies and propaganda. Put on black faces, cab drivers or deli owners in your racist comedies. Not bomb your Dunkin' Donuts with my keffiyeh, fist pound Fox News, or let you steal my food and call it Israeli salad. I won't mess with a Zohan or let them turn the rocks of Palestinian children into balloon animals while Israeli soldiers snipe our children's heads, shoulders, knees, and stomachs. Hollywood snipes ears of young ones with lovable tales of blue and white heroes. I'm not looking for your approval, not a token role or job on my knees scrubbing toilets in Israel's Congress. I'd rather fight with blacks and Latinos against depression, then concede to a mainstream plantation that sees me as other unless I'm checking a college application. I don't believe in the tooth fairy or 2,000 claims of homes you supposedly deserved when people resurrected and walked on water. I'll exist in a world that fights against racism like Martin and Malcolm, bleeds ghetto tales of Stephen Biko as a song that never dies, no matter what apartheid makes of our bodies, feeds mouths in Belfast streets, and resurrects Bobby Sands' message so that we'll never be hungry again. And whether you know it or not, I'm the best solution you have. One man asking for one vote, telling you to look at the sea, and I'll never drive you into it. I'll never return the favor. I'm not outstretching an olive branch and a rifle. I'm extending reality, because being surrounded by so-called enemies on your borders is easier than in your towns and election centers. We may not be brothers, but this neighborhood has made us cousins. I don't want to coexist. I want to exist as a human being. And justice will take care of the rest. I was gonna call that love poem for Tel Aviv. So I'm gonna rush into a funny poem because I figured I talked for 15 minutes. Hey Sammy, what's going on? Thanks for not punking out and coming to this event. He wasn't at SAIC, just kidding. I like to call people out in the crowd, I can do that. This is called The Do's and Don'ts of Palestine. He's a basketball fan too. This is called The Do's and Don'ts of Palestine, and there are certain things you shouldn't say about Israel-Palestine, because you don't want to scare people. You don't want to sound too brown. You don't want to sound too scary. And, you know, if you say this, then they'll be like, hey, look at the angry Palestinian. But anyway, I wrote this poem in response to that kind of stuff, the double standards, and I took a sarcastic take at it. Oh, here, let's do this. I'm the author of Poetic Injustice, Writings on Resistance in Palestine. My mom says this is the coolest thing to come out since slap bracelets. She never said that. And it's on sale outside. It comes with a full-length performance CD. And so if you're like at a red light and you want to scare the hell out of people, you can just jack that up. And they're like, what the hell's going on in the car next door? And it's like, oh, it's just Remy. So this is called The Do's and Don'ts of Palestine. And you can like throw up 5 minutes whenever you want. Okay. Don't call it genocide. We don't want to offend anyone. If we offend them, they'll never listen to us. We have to be reasonable. 1,400. Just a number. No names, no death. We want peace and negotiations. Don't mention Zionism. If you mention Zionism, they'll call you anti-Semitic and, well, people will believe them. Don't cite Palestinian sources. No one would believe you. I wouldn't believe you. Trust Israeli sources. Don't ever be angry. If you're angry, they'll call you angry. Well, if you're angry, everyone will call you understandably emotional. We have to be pragmatic. Pragmatism is not a euphemism for concessions, although it may feel that way. Don't mention Allah or martyrs. It reminds them of Al-Qaeda, 9/11. It's not your job to fix their ignorance. Don't talk about refugees, boycott, or a one-state solution. If we want to win, we have to compromise. The road to peace is just ahead. Don't make analogies that include the Holocaust, Nazis, or the Warsaw Ghetto. Only Israelis are allowed to do this when discussing wars on Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. Don't mention Haifa, Yaffa, Safed, or where your family's from. But if you do, nod when random people say they love Israel. It doesn't matter where you came from. You can't actually go back. Don't. Just don't. And that'll lead to doing. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna fit in as many as I can. You just throw, stop it, dude. Sim it down now. Okay, I'm gonna do home. I grew up in a small town, Western Massachusetts. That was not awkward. It was 9,000 people, and I was like the collective minority, but I also had other external factors going on. Like I had one eyebrow and I was fat, so that was working against me. And being on the playground, my mom being obscenely proud to be Palestinian, didn't work out so well for me. Especially when she would put like the Palestinian flag on the front of the garage, and my friends would be like, does your mom have bombs in the basement? I'm like, shut the hell up. I don't even know how to answer that. I'm 7, just give me some Doritos. So anyway, this doesn't really have much to do with the next poem I'm gonna do, but this is called Home. And you know, I grew up in Western Massachusetts and I had a lot of good things going on in my life. I didn't grow up in a refugee camp, and I think it's important to state what you're about and where you're from. And like Miriam said earlier, I'm not a nationalist, I'm not an ethnocentrist. It's about a system of oppression. It's not because they're Palestinians or because they're Arabs or because it's just the Middle East. Whether it's police brutality, the US-Mexico border, native rights in Canada, or what's going on throughout the Middle East, or the Arab uprisings and the Arab Spring, we need to stand in solidarity with people who are oppressed. And we need to work against that oppression. So this called home, I'm a talker. So, and I'll try to fit in one or two more, because I have some anger in me. Yeah. I didn't grow up in a refugee camp. I grew up here, comfortable, able not to know or care, choose my own destination, close the book, turn off the TV, forget the stories. A gay man once asked me, "Why do you give a damn about Palestine?" "Why not?" I replied. Why did men and women clench fists and fight back at the Stonewall, push through Matthew Shepard hate crime legislation in Congress? I care about Palestine for the same reason I get uncomfortable watching Schindler's List. Still can't comprehend why kids in my neighborhood picked on Michael Paul for being Jewish. Was 10 years old, the first time someone called me a sand nigger. And I don't hate the town I grew up in, but I don't forget those experiences either. The way white women on the block talk down to my brown mother. Don't forget the stories. Pretend it didn't happen. Don't feel the need to dream up an alternative American childhood. As if its vision ever intended to include me. People fight back because they identify. My grandmother still fills tear ducts with longing memories of Jaffa, a home we in America take for granted. I don't ask anyone to forget about the Holocaust or feel as Jewish because I grew up on Long Island. Not gonna have someone tell me where my loyalties lie because my physical environment should define who I am. Remembrance is part of action. Never again applies to many peoples. Yes, I'm a product of America, but no less Palestinian. Palestine. Being that fight for freedom and justice, not just low valleys, beautiful sunsets and fig trees, not just my grandparents' house in Jaffa that's still standing, not just a place I nervously visited, could barely catch a cab in Arabic, yet welcomed like they were expecting my return. Home, in the realest sense, I'm Palestinian. I was born in America. That is who I am.
Okay. What? What? Oh, he said you're good. You have time.
Oh, okay. I'm going to do two more then. Okay. Stop. Sim it down. Okay. See it? What?
It's the system. It's the one that's the remote on your left.
I don't even know what that means. I can barely turn on my computer. I'm 29 too. Like everybody's like, oh, I got my iPod. I was like, that's a spaceship. I don't even know what that means. It's very weird. Like I'm getting old. Shut. Okay. I'm going to stop moving the top part of my body. I think I'm going to do angry, sad, angry. Okay. Has anybody ever heard, if the Palestinian people could only be more like Gandhi and Martin Luther King? Yeah, yeah, anybody hear that? Those people are stupid. I have no problem calling people stupid. You can follow me on Twitter. I do that a lot. And okay, so actors are like really good at what they do. They're like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds and jog 10 miles a day and go be a boxer in a movie. And comedians are like, I'm going to string together thoughts and make a really funny thing. I have a conversation with someone, usually they're Zionist. They say some dumb shit. I write a poem in response to them. But sometimes I write the poem and then somebody says dumb shit 3 months later. In this case, it was Bono. Bono writes in the New York Times, the Palestinian people could only be more like Gandhi and Martin Luther King. And I was like, that's weird. If Bono could only be focused on making good music 30 years later, we wouldn't have so much of a problem. The street has a name, Bono. It says you're wrong. Have a beautiful day. Get the hell out of here. So this called like Gandhi, like Martin, and the reason why it's to say to Palestinians that they should be more like Gandhi and Martin Luther King is because it's a slap in the face to 6 decades of nonviolent resistance. It's a slap in the face to every single person that has ever been shot at with a live bullet, with a tear gas canister, with a rubber bullet, that has ended up in jail or in a graveyard, or any family member who's had somebody happen to one of their neighbors, their friends, or their family. So this called like Gandhi, like Martin, and then I'll end it because, you know, when my, I have, just so you know, in the back, I have two eyebrows, but when I get really angry, they form back to one. It's like childhood all over again. I'm sorry, I'm like one part Jersey Shore, other part Palestine activist. But I'm like messy Jersey Shore. I'm like Snooki. I'm not like the situation. Okay. I got my pop culture references. Like Gandhi, like Martin. I don't know if Palestine just hurts more than it used to. But I try not to think of the kids in Dehesha anymore. Great memories tucked under pillowcases. More nightmares brought by morning. Blink images of live-fired unarmed protesters. Cameras spill out footage of screaming mothers. Born, bred, dead in the West Bank. Fought like Gandhi, like Martin. But no history book will remember their plight. No one ever told me it would be this hard. Impossible to look away after first glance. I cringe every time someone sends me more photos. Dead babies, missing foreheads and frontal lobes. Policemen lay still, lined up like dominoes. Punctured chests where organs once functioned. Half a face missing in this one, an arm missing in that one. It looks like the bomb beat his little body into the ground. Read reviews of our art, movies, and music. We're so angry, one-sided, never fair and balanced. What about Schindler's List? The Pianist. Life is beautiful, and every other Oscar-worthy and winning movie. I never looked at Jewish pain as something to conquer, never forgetting that monsters once lived under the skin of German men. We should be more like Gandhi, like Martin, like someone else. Pretentious armchair activists who obsess over Monica Lewinsky and Barack Obama's dog choice if we all just rose up at once. Like first intifadas, people in the West forget about. Wannabe feminists, peace activists, and pluralists, swallow tongues and gouge out eyes, wouldn't live this life for 5 minutes, but are too quick to criticize the way we live it, while a million Iraqi throats are slit reporters sit in air-conditioned newsrooms, praising General Petraeus. Don't dare ask Iraqi clouds what they've witnessed. It's quite a view from the ground outside the green zone. The fallacy put forth is that if we were only better, we would be free today. We should be better than the people that happen to be Israeli, happen to be Jewish, because better is not racial, ethnic, or religious, but situational. So for that, yes, we are better than you. We should be more like Gandhi, like Martin, and you should be more like F.W. de Klerk, like Afrikaners admitting colonialism and white supremacy in South Africa. Funny that we always blame the victims and never ask the needed question, when is the day gonna come when Israelis and other colonizers of the world better themselves?
Wow. Wow.
Okay. I'm gonna end it on this one because this has to be about a half an hour. Oh, that's so weird. We're going to end angry. I have a lot of poems about, I figured, you know, this was Palestine, this was BDS Day. I do a lot of poems on Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia. And now I have like 9 more poems because we're about to bomb or are bombing 9 other nations. We like that. Hey, NATO. Okay. So, and just to say, you know, like, again, like, people are like, hey, why do you always talk about Palestine? I was like, hey, check me out on Twitter. I shit on Bahrain and Yemen and every other fucking asshole regime that we fund. Excuse my language, it's a little colorful. My mom, like, the thing is, like, when I was a kid, like, my mom, if I said my mom would put a bar of soap in it, but then she could tell me in Arabic to do whatever with, like, my sister, my mother, I was like, you are my mother, you can't say those, like, really weird, like, Arab moms, they, like, swear at you, and I was like, you can't do that. But it's in Arabic, sorry, childhood story. Sharing is caring, Care Bears. Okay, so this is called Only as Equals, and I like this poem because I call it a trifecta poem. It's where I get to knock Obama, Israel, and Arab states all in one poem. That's about it. I have a lot of poetry poems in the book where they're a little softer. I have 48 3-line poems. Just to say just really 20 seconds really quick about the book, it's dedicated to my grandmother. My mother's side's from Jaffa. There's 48 3-line poems in the book split up into 4 different sections to signify each one of my displaced grandparents in 1948. And you know, it's really nice to be able to speak to universities across the country about these issues, and I want to thank you guys again for coming out. And for DePaul for organizing this and for kicking ass on Sabra Hummus. It's called Only as Equals. Every time I think of 9/11, I see burning flesh stripping off the bones of Iraqi children in Fallujah. Now Gaza, I tend to memorialize the forgotten, the eclipsing collateral damage of our unpunished crimes, and maybe it's because I'm a numbers guy, because if I had a dollar for every time an Iraqi died since 2003, I'd be a millionaire. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I don't know who to hate more, the governments in the West or the politicians in the East who sell their souls quicker than the oil they export, strong men who use Palestine as a tool to line their pockets and don't give a nickel to their people, quisling governments who stitch mouth shut for a check from Washington and APEC. How can you be their prototypical anti-Semite if you're signing peace accords to oppress your own people? And then Orientalists and idiots want to talk about how we can't have democracy in the Middle East because of what happened in Gaza. Rahm Emanuel, Chicago's Rahm Emanuel, wants to educate me and my people about democracy gone wrong. Why doesn't he try implementing one in Israel first, instead of bowing down to terrorists like his father in the IDF, lauding a third-rate racist European society that's imploding quicker than its moral standing in the world? Enlightened. Like 1950s Afrikaners and slave traders, just because a house is beautiful doesn't mean the bones you built it on have fully decomposed. The Israeli left is about as alive as Ariel Sharon. I'm sick and tired of asking for permission to resist from antiquated leftists and progressives who care more about keeping it kosher than moving things forward. I put down my pen and waiting fist to resist with college kids and Palestinians, boycott and divest, because honestly, who cares about preserving a living when governments are killing civilians? Complicity by silence and reserve units bombing Gaza. Your academics and scholars, theater groups and practitioners are part of the problem. And if logic doesn't fit into your long-term plan of rejecting my right to return, I'm sorry, maybe one day you return to reality where my people have babies quicker than Zionists can concoct Jordanian options. I'm not looking for your sympathy or your introspective confessions. Won't sit on my hands until they lose oxygen like the people of Balad and Rafah. Vote for Barack Obama and pretend that his 22 days of silence was golden while emaciated children starved to death surrounded by their parents' corpses. This can't be America the Beautiful. A criminal with a few positive attributes doesn't alleviate genocide. Bombing Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, it doesn't make you historic. It makes you as blind and bloodthirsty as the white men that came before you. Apathetic hipsters now, excited about a president who broke history but not poverty, occupation, or corporate interests. I'd rather proudly walk through the graveyards of peace accords and failed dialogue sessions than keep seeing my people just as occupied or third-class citizens. We're the gavel that'll slam down like a verdict. I'm not waiting for Israel, America, the Supreme Court to approve it. We'll boycott Levlevayev, Sabra, and your apartheid companies. We're taking back the right of return and keys to a country because we never, never asked you to go back to Europe or sit in open-air prisons. I'm not asking for your advice. I'm explaining the decision. You can stay here with us, but only as equals. It's not that you're Israeli. It's that you're wrong. That's why I fight for my people.